What up, what up, what up, ladies and gents, boys and girls, you are now tuned in to a brand new episode of Sportsway with Drain A Podcast. I am your host with the most, the Hood's ESPN, Crystal Street's very own Dre Day. What's up, what's up, what's up? This is episode 318, episode 318 of Sportsway with Dre Day Podcast. I want to thank everybody for their continued support. Keep it going, keep it flowing. This episode here, NFL football recap. The playoffs is here. The wild card round was taken care of. Some upsets. Some disappointments. Some reliefs. A bunch of things happened in the wild card round. Well, I'm not going to say a lot, but, you know, it was one particular loss that I definitely is going to enjoy speaking on. So, of course, I got to throw some NFL talk in there, and then we're going to get to the divisional round as far as giving my predictions for the divisional round, and then we're going to get it into the NBA aspect. Shaq is about to get his number retired by the third franchise. I'm also going to speak on a reunion that meant so much to me that I'm actually going to speak about that as well. I'm also going to speak on the inaugural ring ceremony that the Chicago Bulls had, I believe, last weekend. I want to give my opinion on that as well. So it's a lot to dive into on here. You know, I'm definitely going to try to make this close to an hour. So let's get into it, shall we? First, got to speak about the NFL. Got to do the NFL. You know, right now it is time to separate the pretenders from the contenders. And last weekend, that was on full display. Listen, first, let's just get to the meat and potatoes. Let's get to the meat and potatoes of this whole thing. And that would be, in fact, let me just go through the games. Because, first of all, it was six games, right? It was six games, right? Buffalo and Pittsburgh had to get pushed back to Monday because of the snowstorm in Buffalo, right? Five of the six home teams won. Five of them won, okay? The Texans just beat dog shit down Cleveland's leg, 45-14. No need to speak on that game, right? Even though I did pick Cleveland to win, but they got the shit beat down their legs. No need to dive into that. You know, the hype from Joe Flacco definitely died down that game. CJ Stroud did his thing as well for being a rookie. Bam, so that's one game. The Chiefs beat the Dolphins 26-7. Me personally, I wasn't surprised. First of all, as soon as they said what the weather was going to be like at Arrowhead. Now, I know it's a new name for that stadium, but I refuse to call it that. For me, it's always going to be Arrowhead Stadium. When they said that the degrees was going to be in the negatives, I knew right then and there that Kansas City was going to win this game. Even though we didn't trust the Chiefs receivers and all this other shit, when we found out what the degrees was going to be for this game, I knew right then and there that the Chiefs was going to win this game. Now, Rashid Rice might have had his game of the season. 130 receiving yards, 8 catches, and a touchdown. You know, Pacheco did his thing. Mahomes did his thing, even though he only threw one touchdown. If the Chiefs can have this type of performance for this game, I'm eager to see what they could do against Buffalo for the divisional round. So that's two home wins already, right? Detroit. Nail biter. 24-23 against the Rams. Now, for some people, it's going to be some controversy. Some people feel like that the Rams got jerked because there were two flags that should have been called in that game. One, the last play where Matthew Stafford threw a slant pass to Puka. I'm not even going to pronounce his name, but he did his thing in that game. Puka, he did his thing. And on that last play, you can see his jersey being held as he converts into the slant, but no flag was called. So when there was no flag called, that was fourth down, game over. All Detroit has to do is take a knee, and then game is over. Not really. They had to convert a first down, and then game was over. But listen, I picked Detroit to win. I want to see Detroit succeed. This was the first time in Lord knows how long that the Detroit Lions advanced to the divisional round. So me personally, I felt bad for the Rams, but really didn't give a shit because, again, I picked the Lions to win. The Bills and the Steelers, again, it got pushed back to Monday. The Bills won by two touchdowns, 31-17. Listen, I picked Buffalo to win. Pittsburgh did okay in the beginning. But turnovers really played the key. Mason Rudolph turning the ball over. George Pickens turning the ball over. So those things definitely messed up this game for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Josh Allen did his thing. Three touchdowns, no interceptions. James Cook did his thing on the ground. The defense for the Bills stepped up. That crowd, Bills Mafia, was in awe. Wasn't surprised with the outcome. I picked Buffalo to win, so that's another win. And then Tampa beat dog shit down Philly's leg. Now, I picked Tampa to win, but I damn sure didn't pick them to win 32-9. You know, Philly has been struggling the last few games, and something told me that this game, Tampa was going to win. Something told me that. Now, I could have easily said, yeah, Philly's going to right the wrong. It's playoff time. They'll wake up. But listen, Jalen Hurts was hurt. AJ Brown didn't play. And then the whole camaraderie with Philly right now just wasn't in sync. I wasn't trusting that against this Tampa team. And Baker Mayfield has done his thing this season. I'm not even going to hold you. He has done his thing this season. I'm happy for him. I'm happy for Mike Evans. I'm happy for Chris Godwin. I'm happy for the whole Tampa Bay organization because obviously last year they played in the same type game, same setting, wild card, Monday night game, and they lost to the Dallas Cowboys and you had Tom Brady as your quarterback. But this year, you go up against Philly, and you beat dog shit down their leg to advance to the divisional round. So I couldn't be more proud of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But now let's get to the meat and potatoes. I said five of the six home teams won. They could have had a clean sweep in the wild card, but unfortunately, it was one team that had to fuck it up. Not only did they fuck it up, they got shit beat down their leg as well. And that would be that team out of Dallas. And that would be the Dallas Cowboys. Now, I had to watch the game when I came home because I had to work, right? And the unit that I worked in, I couldn't use my phone. You know, I had a bunny suit on. I had two masks on. I had a bonnet on. I had all this shit on me. I came out of them rooms working in a pharmacy sweating as if I was playing a full-court basketball game. You would think I was Kevin Garnett or Patrick Ewing. All I did was reach for my phone after taking all that shit off. My little homie Munchie DM'd me and said, "How about them Cowboys?" and mad laughing emojis. When he sent me that, that's all I needed to know was that the Cowboys lost. Now, before I started those rooms, the Cowboys were already losing 14-0. But I'm like, okay, it's 14-0. It's plenty of time. They're at home. Maybe they'll come back. To find out that they lost 48-32, man, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. I was on cloud nine. Now, yes, I picked the Cowboys to win. Let me just give that disclaimer. Yes, I picked the Cowboys to win. But trust and believe, that is one loss that I don't mind taking. That is one loss I don't mind receiving when they lose. And again, for two straight years, they went undefeated at home in the regular season. They went undefeated last year. They went undefeated this year. So, of course, when they got that number two seed, I'm like everybody else. I'm not going to lie. I thought that they were going to the NFC Championship game because they got the number two seed. Because I figured, okay, they got the number two seed, which means they're guaranteed two home games. They'll get those home games, and they'll get the victory, and then they'll lose to the Niners in the conference championship. That's what I thought. And not for nothing, listen, with the year that the Cowboys had this year, and then to have Jimmy Johnson, you know, be a part of the Ring of Honor, and him and Jerry Jones bury the hatchet, and to see him be greeted by his former players, and then him having his speech, I forgot which game it was, and then he ended it with the famous, "How about them Cowboys?" A part of me was rooting for the Cowboys to get to the NFC Championship game. Not the Super Bowl, but the NFC Championship game. And for them to lose in that fashion was just downright horrible. And there's three people that's at fault. Three people that's at fault. Mike McCarthy, which I'm going to get into even more. Dak Prescott and Dan Quinn. The defense was non-existent. There were some plays in that game that there were no defenders near these Green Bay receivers. Hell, it was a touchdown pass that Jordan Love threw that it was no receiver. You would think Green Bay was out there practicing by themselves because there was no defender in the vicinity for the Dallas Cowboys. And then when there was a defender, homeboy was getting ready to get in the end zone. That Cowboys defense got exposed at the wrong time. They picked the wrong time to get exposed. Now, we all thought that this was one of the elite defenses in the league. Everybody hyped up Micah Parsons, called him the next Lawrence Taylor. Where was he at in this game? I'll tell you where. Nowhere to be found. He does all this shit talking on his podcast. He puts more effort into his podcast than he does on the football field in important games. And this is another case in point right here. DeMarcus Lawrence, nowhere to be found. And the crazy thing is this. I think Dan Quinn, with the defense that he had this year, with all these coach firings that's happened, you can make a case that if the Cowboys would have put on a decent performance on defense, he might have been up for one of those jobs. You can kiss that shit goodbye now after this performance. You could definitely kiss that goodbye. Dak Prescott played horrible. You can make a case that he might have been second or third for MVP this year, regular season. But once again, playoff time, not so good performance. not so good performance. Two interceptions. One just happened to be a pick six. Horrible performance. Pathetic performance. And of course, you got the fans, you know, coming for his head. They want Dak gone. I don't know if Trey Lance is the answer, but I don't know, man. But listen, like I said, you are not going to see me sit here and cry because the Cowboys lost. I loved every minute of it. I loved seeing the videos of watching the Cowboys fans so miserable. It was one in particular. You saw a Green Bay fan, young kid, just yelling up a storm. And I'm assuming that his friend was a Cowboy fan with his head down. And I guess it was his mother patting his back and rubbing his head. I loved every minute of it. I loved every single minute of it. It's no better feeling in the world to see the Cowboys lose because it's not really the team that I don't like. It's not the players that I don't like. It's the fans I don't like. All the shit talking. All the bragging. How about them Cowboys? You know we're going to win next year, right? You know we're going to come back next year, right? Please do not say that shit next year. Please don't say that shit next year. It's been 29 years. It's been 29 years and I've been hearing, you know we're going to win next year. You know we're going to come back next year. For 29 years, I've heard that shit. Since the fifth grade. And that was the last time y'all won a Super Bowl. Let alone last time y'all went to an NFC Championship game. Please come up with something better else to say. Or just how about this? We ain't going nowhere. We ain't going nowhere. I'd rather y'all say that. Because guess what? Y'all not going nowhere. Because it's already been confirmed that Mike McCarthy was coming back. It's already confirmed that he's coming back. So no, Jim Harbaugh will not be interviewing for the Cowboy job. No, Coach Belichick will not be interviewing for the Cowboy job. Jerry Jones has already let it be known that Mike McCarthy will be back, which means it will be another disappointing season for the Dallas Cowboys. And Dallas Cowboy fans, this is the time for y'all to jump off that bandwagon. It's time. Now, I know some of you, and I need to sit up for this. I need to sit up for this because I'm sitting back in my chair just relaxing saying this. Now I got to sit up and have a conversation with you Cowboy fans. This right here is case in point on why y'all need to move on and stop being Cowboy fans. You have a owner. Now, as much as I just gave the blame to Dak, Dan Quinn, and Mike McCarthy for the Cowboys' mishap this season, you have an owner who is the focal reason on why y'all have not won a championship since 1995. Now, again, this is to the fans who are about my age or older than me. Y'all was probably around for when the Cowboys last won your Super Bowl. For you young millennials and you Gen X fans that now just jumped on the bandwagon to be a Cowboy fan because the star in the helmet and the metallic jersey. Yeah, yeah, yeah. This right here is for y'all as well as into why y'all need to leave and not be Cowboy fans no more. You have an owner who does not care. He's constantly saying he'll do this to win a Super Bowl. He'll do this to get a Super Bowl. You know, his time is, you know, his time is running out as far as, you know, breathing in this world and passing on. But yet, here you are still keeping coaches that you know can't lead you to the promised land. But see, this is the problem. And it's always been this problem with Jerry Jones. He likes coaches that will allow him to do shit that other coaches won't allow. Mike McCarthy, Jason Garrett. I'm just trying to think. What was his name? Wade Phillips. Chad Bailey, so many coaches. They were yes men, right? They were yes men. You think Coach Belichick is going to come to a team where an owner is holding a press conference before the game, after the game, getting on the radio Monday morning or Tuesday morning, whatever fucking day it is, and just talking gibberish? You think Coach Belichick is going to allow that? Hell no. Coach Belichick going to want some type of control. He going to check that shit at the door. And see, Jerry Jones don't want that. That's why he wants to keep Mike McCarthy at bay, because he know he will allow that. All these coaches that the Cowboys have had, unless your name is Bill Parcells and Jimmy Johnson, Tom Landry wasn't a part of Jerry Jones's fold. He fired him when he, you know, became the owner of the Cowboys. So those three coaches I just mentioned, aside from those three coaches, every other coach that was a coach for the Dallas Cowboys were a yes man to Jerry Jones. And that's what Jerry Jones wants. He wants a yes man. And he wants to make so many decisions. He wants to be the owner. He wants to be the president. He wants to be the general manager. He wants to be the water boy. He wants to be the hype man. There's so many things this man wants to do. He wants so much credit for the Cowboys' success. This was the problem when Jimmy Johnson was here. This is where they had their riff. He wanted to have control. He wanted to be responsible for the success. Mr. Kraft got 6 Super Bowls in New England. You think he give a fuck about going back and forth with Coach Belichick about who's in control of this, who's in control of that? He don't care. All his concern is cutting the checks. And hopefully by February, he's raising the Lombardi Trophy. And guess what? He got 6 of them things. The Rooney family don't give a damn either. It's only Jerry Jones. The Dallas Cowboys are worth $9 billion. They are the richest franchise in sports. They are the most popular team in the world for any sport. And for 29 years, you have been disappointed because of this man, Jerry Jones. But I'm going to go a little deeper than that. Remember that video? Remember that photo that Jerry Jones was in with the whole thing in Texas where they wasn't allowing black kids to go to school? And Jerry Jones was, I think he was 14, 15 years old in that picture. Well, guess what? Even though that was done last year, but I honestly believe that this is the year that a lot of people's, how can I say it, evilish ways is coming to light. And until Jerry Jones rights the wrong from that, his Cowboys will continue to lose. They will continue to lose. Because of bullshit like that. So, Cowboy fans, if I was y'all, I would jump off that bandwagon. You have been faithful to this team long enough. Long enough. It is time for y'all to go somewhere else and get a win. Because as long as Jerry Jones has this much control, the Cowboys will never win another Super Bowl. It is that simple. Can't express it more than that. But let's get to the divisional round, shall we? Which is this weekend. We got about 4 games on the bill. We got the Texans and we got the Ravens. Listen, Lamar Jackson, he can't stake up the joint in this game. He just can't do it. He can't do it this game. First of all, Baltimore's at home. It's looking like Lamar Jackson is going to win MVP. He has a 1-3 record in the playoffs already. I believe he already has a loss at home. In fact, I think he has two losses at home. I think it was 1 year against the Chargers and then another year against the Titans when they were the number one seed. His MVP year. Now you are going up against a Texans team that you beat in week one, but that was a different Texan team. The Ravens cannot afford to lose this game. They just can't. They cannot afford to lose this game. With that being said, I am going with the Ravens. I'm going with the Ravens to get the dub on the Houston Texans. Next, we got the Green Bay Packers against the San Francisco 49ers. So we have both number one seeds playing on Saturday. Another rivalry. Green Bay and the Niners. Speaking of Green Bay, back to the Dallas Cowboys. You could make a case that there are two franchises that have owned the Dallas Cowboys in the playoffs. That would be the San Francisco 49ers. Because remember, last season and the season prior, they eliminated them 2 years in a row. The last three times that the Cowboys and Packers have met in the playoffs, the Packers have won that game. 2014, 2016, and now 2023. I know it's the year 2024, but the year is still 2023. The season is 2023. So all three seasons that the Cowboys and the Packers have met in the playoffs, the Packers have beat the Cowboys. So you can say the Packers, the Cowboys' daddy at this point. But then you can say the same thing about the Niners. The Niners is the Packers' daddy because for quite some time now, when these two teams have met in the playoffs, the 49ers have came up victorious. I was very impressed with that victory by the Green Bay Packers. And there were so many people that were saying that how Green Bay, they got to attack early. They got to attack early. They don't want to do this late. They got to attack the Cowboys early, and they did. If they could garner up that same energy and do the same thing against the Niners, they could make shit very interesting. Very interesting. Because again, both number one teams have buys. Sometimes that could be a curse to have so much time off. You get on the football field, you're a little rusty out there. Hopefully that's not the case with the San Francisco 49ers. I'm going to pick the Niners to beat the I'm going to pick the San Francisco 49ers to beat the Green Bay Packers. And then the Sunday games, we got the Buccaneers and the Lions. Listen, if Ford Field was hype for the wild card game against the Rams, imagine how hyped they're going to be this weekend for another home game in Detroit. You had Royce in the building. You had Eminem in the building. You had Barry Sanders in the building. You had Bizarre in the building. You had Jalen Rose in the building. You had Big Sean in the building. Detroit's elite was in the building for that game. I'm quite sure they will all be in the building for this game as well. I'm going with Detroit to get the win. Again, I have been impressed with Baker Mayfield. I have. So this is not a situation where I haven't been impressed, because yes, I have. I'm not sure if I would say it's his best season, but I honestly think that he's carved himself a home in Tampa. So if this is a contract year for him,
If he's a free agent at the end of this season, I do believe he'll be back in Tampa. I do believe Tampa will bring him back. I honestly do. But I think this season ends this weekend. I got Detroit winning. And then we got probably the most intriguing game this weekend. And that would be the Kansas City Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills. Now, the last two times that these two teams have met in the playoffs, Kansas City won. I believe they met in a championship game, and we all remember that divisional game a few years ago when they were just going back and forth in the two-minute warning, right? Both of those games was in Kansas City. That's the difference this time around. This game is actually in Buffalo, Bills Mafia. Now, both of these teams are accustomed to cold weather. This is not like Kansas City and the Dolphins. Both teams are accustomed to cold weather. Buffalo did beat Kansas City in the regular season, but again, that was regular season. This is the playoffs now. Whole different animal. Now, look. I do believe that Josh Allen, he has his moments where he can fuck shit up, right? I wouldn't go as far as to say that he's overrated. I would just say that he's very inconsistent, right? I predict that Josh Allen would throw one interception in this game. Now, Kansas City's defense has improved. My issue is the Chiefs' receivers. Are they going to have another performance like they had against the Dolphins? Because honestly, they're going to need more than 20-something points to beat Buffalo, especially at Archer Park. They're going to need more than 20, what was that? I think they had 26 points to beat the Dolphins. They're going to need more than that to beat Buffalo. Listen, before the season started, I said Ravens, Chiefs, AFC Championship game. So I'm sticking with my pick. I know the safe thing would be go with the home team, go with Bills Mafia. Nah, I am sticking with my pick. I'm sticking with the Chiefs and Ravens in the AFC Championship game. That was my prediction before the season started. I'm sticking with it. There you have it. I'm sticking with it. Now, this is uncharted territory for Patrick Mahomes. Because I believe this is the first time in his career that he's actually playing a road game. That's right. Every game that that man has played since he has been in the NFL has been at home. I'm not counting the Super Bowl. That's neutral ground. I'm talking about playoffs, divisional round, championship game, every game he has played, even wild card, has been at home. He finally gets a taste of what it's like to be the enemy. He gets a glimpse this weekend. And let's see how he does. But yes, I have, just for my divisional round, I have the Ravens beat the Texans. I have the Niners beat the Packers. I have the Lions beat the Buccaneers. And then I have the Chiefs beating the Bills. So I have three of the four home teams winning. I have the Chiefs messing that up and beating the Bills. There you have it. There you have it. Now let's get into some NBA talk. There have been three players. Well, no. It's been one player who has had the distinct honor of having his jersey number retired for three different franchises. And that would be Wilt Chamberlain. He has his number retired by the Sixers, Warriors, and Lakers. Well, now we're about to have two players have that distinction. And the second player that will be able to have that honor will be none other than Shaq Diesel, Shaquille O'Neal. On TNT last week, they announced that the Orlando Magic will be retiring Shaq's 32 jersey. He will be the first player in that franchise to have that number retired. Me personally, I have no problem with it. I have no issue with it. Because let's keep it all the way funky. He did put Orlando on the map. Let's just call it what it is. He put the Orlando Magic on the map. Now, yes, he was probably only there 4 or 5 years. But he put them on the map. He made them relevant when they was just getting introduced into the league. They had an NBA Finals berth. Yes, they got swept by Houston. All-star appearances. We all remember Shaq and Penny and Nick Anderson and 3D, Dennis Scott. You know, we remember that squad. I know for a fact I do. Shaq was a beast in Orlando. He became a monster when he went to the Lakers. And MVP conversations, all-star appearances, you name it. So yes, I have no issue with Shaquille O'Neal being the first player in that franchise to have his number retired. I have no problem. Now, the question that came up was, who was the better Magic? Shaq or Dwight Howard? Now, that's a conversation for another day. But for this one, I do believe Shaq should have been the first player to get his number retired in Orlando. They got it right. They definitely got it right. Which means later on down the line, well, see, here's the thing. That's the crazy part. I was going to say retire Penny's number, but that was also T-Mac's number. So how do you finagle that? But again, I do believe that they got it right. Now, did Shaq bully his way of getting it retired? I think he did like some TikTok video or some shit where he did a freestyle. And basically, he iterated that Orlando should retire his number. So, did they hear that and then say, you know what? Okay, let's retire his number. Hey, sometimes you got to speak up for shit that you want. And again, this is not like it's a situation where he doesn't deserve for his number to be retired, because yes, he does. He absolutely deserves his number to be retired. You know, this is not a case where they're retiring somebody's number who wasn't deserving of it. Oh no, Shaq definitely deserves his number to be retired. Make no mistake about it. And he's about to get that. So, congrats to the Diesel, for that matter. Can you dig it? Yes, I can. Congrats, Shaq Diesel. Now let's get to something that was distasteful, disheartening, and that would be the Chicago Bulls fans. It was announced a few months ago that the Bulls was going to have their inaugural Ring of Honor, right? To celebrate their 95-96 NBA championship, right? That was the 72-10 season. The best team
in NBA history for that season. No, it wasn't the Warriors that went 73-9 because they didn't win the whole thing. So that right there just offsets. They didn't win the whole thing. Now, of course, first of all, when it was announced that they was doing this, I already knew in my heart that MJ wasn't going to be there. I already knew Jordan wasn't going to be there. I figured he wouldn't be there because he didn't want to be in the same room with Scottie Pippen, and we all know the whole issue with Pippen and MJ. Well, actually, the issue that Pippen has with Mike. Mike don't have no problem with Pippen. It's Pippen with the issue with Jordan, okay? Bam, so we knew that. Come to find out, Pippen didn't show up. Come to find out, Dennis Rodman didn't show up. So your big three of the greatest team in NBA history didn't show up to this monumental event. I believe Luke Longley was there. I believe Ron Harper was there. I believe Tony Kukoc was there. I believe Bill Wellington was there. I believe Phil Jackson was there. Steve Kerr was there. Hell, Steve Kerr had to be there because the Warriors was the team that they was going up against. The Warriors was going up against the Bulls that night. So Steve Kerr had to be there. But see, this is where shit got dicey. This is where things got very, very cringeworthy. The late Jerry Krause. Now, for those of y'all that don't know who he is, he was the general manager of the Chicago Bulls team. And if you are familiar with the documentary The Last Dance, then you are familiar with the way he was depicted in that documentary. Now, for a lot of people, he is the reason on why the Chicago Bulls was not able to at least go for four straight championships after that Last Dance season, which was the 98 season. Because he basically told Phil Jackson, after the fifth championship, this is it. I don't care if y'all go 82-0 and win the championship. This is it. So for a lot of people, he's the reason why that team plummeted the way they did. You forced Phil Jackson to leave coaching. You forced MJ to retire again. You forced Scottie Pippen to, I think, go to Houston. I think he had a stint in Houston. You forced Dennis Rodman to leave Chicago as well. To the point where the Bulls just plummeted. So, last weekend, at the Ring of Honor, Jerry Krause's widow was there in his honor. And the Chicago Bulls fans took the liberty of booing this woman to the point where she was crying because they were booing. Now, I get that you had a distaste for Jerry Krause, and rightfully so. But to boo his wife, that was totally unnecessary. Totally unnecessary. That was just dead right wrong. Dead right wrong. And so many people called. Charles Barkley called them out on it. Steve Kerr called them out on it. And rightfully so. The Chicago Bulls fans should be very disappointed with themselves for doing that. They should be very disappointed. Very disappointed. Very much. Very much. I just had to speak on that because, you know, me being a Bulls fan back then because of MJ, of course you want to celebrate that accomplishment. Now, me personally, do I wish the big three was there? Hell yeah. But see, Jordan, he put a video together that they played in the stadium. They didn't put one out for Pippen. Pip just didn't show up. Rodman did a video. He said he will always be a Chicago Bull.
He said his heart will always be in Chicago, which I find crazy because he used to play for Detroit, but that's neither here nor there. But yeah, that was very disheartening and distasteful to see the Bulls fans do that to Jerry Krause's widow. That was downright disrespectful. Very cold-hearted. Very cold-hearted. But,
like I said, this is a short episode. I really don't have anything else. Oh, no. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. In fact, this is going to be my shout-out for this episode. Because y'all know at the end of the episode, I always do a shout-out. This right here is my shout-out. And when I seen this photo, I fanboyed out. Because it was a photo that I wanted to see for the longest. You understand what I'm saying to you? I have been fiending to see a photo like this for years. And earlier this week, I got to see it. And that would be the Fab Five reunion. Now, if you've been living under a rock and don't know who the Fab Five is, that would be Chris Webber, Jalen Rose, Juwan Howard, Jimmy King, Ray Jackson. They are the greatest freshman class in college basketball history. Now, for some people, they'll sit and say, oh, how was they so great? They didn't win a national championship that year. Granted, they didn't. Yes, they lost to Duke. Yes, they did. No shit, Sherlock. But what they did for basketball, college basketball at that time, they revolutionized the game of basketball. Just watch the Fab Five documentary on ESPN, which is one of the best documentaries ESPN has ever put out. Watch that documentary and get back to me. And then you will understand why I fanboyed out when I seen that photo. Because, not for nothing, I had seen a photo with Jalen Rose and Chris Webber on IG, right? And it made me smile because them two were going at odds for so many years. If you watch the documentary, you know the reason. I remember years where I think Michigan had went to two. If I'm not mistaken, I think Michigan has gone to two national title games since 20, I forgot the year. I think they went against Louisville one year, against Rick Pitino and them boys, and they lost. And then I think a few years ago, I want to say about a good 5-6 years ago, they might have went to another national championship game, and they lost that game as well. Juwan Howard was there. Well, Juwan Howard definitely had to be there for the second one because he was the coach. But the point is that Juwan Howard was in attendance. Jimmy King was in attendance. Jalen Rose was in attendance. Ray Jackson was in attendance. The only Fab Five member that was not in attendance was Chris Webber. Now, I do know there was a time where he was banned from being at the University of Michigan. But time has now passed. And I seen a photo of all five of them together in one photo. I'm not even going to lie. I got teary-eyed seeing that photo. I'm not even going to lie to you. That is my second favorite team in college basketball history, that Fab Five team. Behind Duke's 2001 team. They finished the deal. They won the national championship. You know what I'm saying? Chris Duhon, Jay Williams, Mike Dunleavy Jr.,
Shane Battier, Carlos Boozer. Yeah, that Duke squad was elite. They won the national championship. They finished the deal. So that's why they my favorite team. But that Fab Five, right behind them. Right behind them. So to see that photo put the only smile on my face because it was something I've been wanting to see for so long. And I'm glad that Chris Webber and Jalen Rose put their issues to the side because I've heard interviews where I'm not going to say they talked down each other, but you didn't see no reconciliation in the future. But to see that photo of them two together, because it was two photos I saw. It was a photo of Jalen Rose and C-Web, and then it was a photo of all five of them together. I'm just talking about the photo of all five of them together. And yes, Chris Webber was at a Michigan game. He was at a Michigan game where all five of them were there. Because again, Juwan Howard is the head coach for Michigan. And well wishes to him and his, I think he had a heart procedure. So as long as he, so well wishes to the OG, Juwan Howard. But again, seeing that photo put the only smile on my face. It definitely put a smile on my face. So shout out to the Fab Five on their miraculous reunion. With that being said, it's a wrap for this episode. I want to thank everybody for their continued support. Keep it going. Keep it flowing. Like I said, this was going to be a short episode. So there you have it. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on X. Dre Day, 1985. The link is in the bio. Find me on Facebook, Dre Day. You can find me on Spotify, Amazon Music, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podbean, iHeartRadio. Those are the streaming platforms you can find your boy on. So once again, man, thank y'all for y'all continued support. Keep it going. Keep it flowing. Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. One more thing. Before I go, this Saturday, the Hood's ESPN Jeopardy is back. We are taking it to IG Live. That's right. This Saturday, which is the 20th, 6 p.m., IG Live. The Hood's ESPN Jeopardy 5 is going down. My man O'Shea from Nation of Podcation will defend his crown after winning the fourth installment. He will be defending his the Hood's ESPN Jeopardy crown against my man Guru from Tampa, Florida. And my man Dub, Uncle Dub from the DMV in DC. So yes, it is going down this weekend on IG Live at 6 p.m. So just search for your boy Dre Day and your boy will be live at 6 p.m. It's not on the podcast page. It's on my personal page because I have more followers on there. So if you want to see it, search me up. Dre Day 1985, 6 p.m. Your boy will be live. And it's going down this weekend, Saturday, 6 p.m. IG Live, the Hood's ESPN 5. Well, the Hood ESPN Jeopardy 5 is back. So again, thank y'all for y'all continued support. Keep it going. Keep it flowing. In closing, y'all know how this goes. This has been another episode of Sportswear with Dre Day Podcast. Episode 318 is done. God bless y'all. Y'all continue to be safe. Peace and love. Your boy is out of here. Peace.
What up, what up, what up? It's your man Dre Day, and I have a PSA announcement for y'all. Did y'all know that only 38% of African Americans were able to identify financial terms on the PFN index, an annual financial survey. Why is that? Because we're never given the tools to succeed in the financial sector. Will with American Classic Agency has been designing financial maps for his clients to succeed for over a decade for clients on both coasts. With Will, you will be able to create a game plan to get out of debt and create the wealth that you and your family deserve. If you're interested, please contact Will at willspady@gmail.com. That's willspady@gmail.com. Or call him at 443-810-0384.